good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Sage Sayers. I'm your show host, Debbie Gardner-McCullough. I'm a New Zealander, a communications coach, and a narrative coach based in the fine state of Wisconsin. Every week, the Sage Sayers podcast looks at business communication tips and strategies, and we interview interesting individuals from all over the globe who found a gift, an opportunity, and/or knowledge from challenging situations. In this week's podcast, I'm offering some tips and strategies on how to bottom line your key message. This week's podcast and the insights and strategies within will help you if you're wanting to inform your audience of something it is that you want or need them to know and potentially do. Really useful for email communication, Slack, but I'm really thinking in mind as I share this week's insights and tips of a written message you want to deliver and you want to make it really clear what's at stake. I'm also offering a framework, and the framework I've learned from Heidi Schultz, Dr. Heidi Schultz. She's a clinical professor of management and corporate communication at the Kenan Flagler Business School. Dr. Heidi's also a dear friend and mentor, and it's her framework that I'm offering in today's podcast. Before we get started, though, I wondered, why ought we bottom line our message? What comes to you when I ask that question? Why ought we bottom line our message? What comes to me is never before has our audience been so distracted. Our leaders are responding to hundreds of emails a day, but also we've got some startling data points out there to get us pondering too about audience-centered writing and the need to bottom line. Over 30% of professionals in this country where I'm based, the US of A, are thinking of leaving their jobs. And then some other startling data from the Gallup organization mentioned 70% of professionals are feeling distracted, dejected, and not really interested in their job. So consider this audience, the gift for us as communicators right now is keeping our message really clear, really compelling, succinct, and bottom line that information up top. Also consider this idea, when your reader reads a message, they're likely wondering, how should I respond to the information and when should I act? How should I respond? What do you want me to do? And then when should I act? And to be audience-centered, we recommend a writing strategy. And it would open with a strong launch, including the bottom line, the purpose for writing, any to-do or actionable items, an outline statement of what comes next. And that's all in within the opening paragraph. But you also want, as part of your introduction, to have a descriptive subject line. I like to think of the subject line in email communication as a sort of a thoughtful, fun communication scrabble game kind of challenge. And one question that might help you craft a descriptive subject line, a succinct one, is how might you tweet this message? How might you tweet your message? And you don't have that many words, so you're really looking at 5 to 8 words, perhaps, in the subject line. But you want it to stand out because data shows us, the reports show us, that not only are many of us really distracted right now and overworked and overwhelmed, many of us are receiving way too many emails within our day, but also the data also says that most of us read the first message of the day via our phones. And with that, we're talking about, depending on what phone model you have, of course, but assuming it's like mine, my Samsung Galaxy, it's really not that big. So think about that point too as you're crafting your subject line. It wants to, a few best practices might include keeping it short, keeping that subject line on target to what it is the rest of your message contains. If there's any ask of your audience within your informative message, then, or anything time sensitive, try to include, please respond by end of day, for instance, in a parenthesis at the end. If there's anything time sensitive, I would recommend adding that to your subject line. And, you know, have something that stands out. You want your subject line to stand out so that when your reader is scrolling through their messages via their phone over their cereal, or when they're distracted with getting the kids out the door to school, whatever it is, they will read your message and know it's one worth clicking on. So we've got through the subject line. And now, as part of your introduction, you want to have that clear purpose statement and you want to greet your audience. So let's start with the latter, the greeting. Before you craft your greeting, part of the idea around a greeting is asking yourself, how do I want to sound to my audience? How do I want them to sound? And let your answer to that question guide your greeting. But I recommend something warm and upbeat, depending on your culture. You want to avoid the stale and sterile and aloof sounding one-worders like all, colon, or team, colon, or even hello, period, can sound a little bit gruff and blunt. So however it is you want to sound, craft your greeting. For instance, dear team or dear leaders or whatever it is, but do greet them warmly. Then get to your clear purpose and your bluff, also known as your blot. And this acronym stands for bottom line up front or bottom line on top. So how do you know what your bottom line is? Well, different ways help. One thing to do is ask yourself this vital question, what do I need or want my audience to know? What do I want my audience to know? And I would add to that self-question something a little time-pressing to make it really relevant. What do I want my audience to know and why? And then I would add to that something journalistic I like to bring into my client coaching and training is what do I want my audience to know? Why and why now? What about my message feels purposeful to me at least now? And why ought it feel purposeful to my audience? Take a little time there. Think about it a little bit. And then if there is a request or action, add it. Dear leaders, comma, a message might begin. I'm sharing with you the core highlights of this previous quarter because perhaps you might not be aware of all of the things going on within my team this quarter, and also in hopes that this extra insight can help you as you're planning the next quarter, period, for instance, could be one suggestion on how to craft that introductory paragraph. If there's an action item you want to add in, it could be something simple. By the end of this message, I'd love to hear from you insights into what felt most helpful so we can build upon these efforts in the next quarter. Or if you have anything that's unclear or ambiguous or you're simply curious about, I'd love to hear from you. Small ask, small request, an action item. So now you've got through the descriptive subject line, you've gotten your warm greeting, you've stated your clear purpose, and then your bottom line on top. And if it feels right, you've added your request or action item. And this is all just a few sentences in your introduction. Before you get out of that introduction, you want to add an outline sentence, also known as the blueprint. And this sentence is just a one-line statement. For example, the rest of this message outlines all the core highlights from XYZ project, which my team and I spearheaded this past quarter. And it offers a short survey at the end, asking for your insight into what we did well and what you think we can do better. Done. That's your outline sentence. Now, you may want to push back on that last part, and of course, this is your message. You know what's best. But the power of an outline sentence is, thinking again to this audience-centeredness, this audience-centric way of writing, thinking of your audience on their phone, distracted, reading it with a glass of coffee in one hand, and then reading from their phone with the other. If they don't know what the rest of the message contains, they don't have enough information to determine whether they ought to read on or stop right there. It helps them decide whether or not to read on or whether it's something that can wait. And that step feels very, very considerate to a busy, overworked reader. Now we're through the introduction. Let's get into the body. So the body takes anything that you have shared in that introduction and fleshes it out in some details. Your body can be 3 to 5 paragraphs, whatever it is you want to include, but we're looking for details that explain and or clarify and build upon the bottom line and show understanding of your audience as you do it. A few best practices follow. I'll try to keep it to 3. Best practice number 1, be specific. So the details is the key word here. You want to offer specific details or examples to give depth. Give details to and examples to give depth. Best practice number 2, you want to preempt what questions your audience might have about this information. Best practice number 3 is be really clear. So this is not the place for lots of jargon and buzzwords. Keep the language accessible, clear, succinct. Keep the sentences to around 20 words maximum. Vary your sentence patterns. Have some complete sentences and then some inserted idea sentences and then some intro phrase sentences, but you want variety. And then part of the clarity piece for me too is use what Dr. Heidi calls HABITS. It's an acronym for heading, artwork, bolding, italics, typography, and space. So keep your writing accessible with subheads and headings, a graph or some other kind of artwork to show versus tell what the message contains. Highlight key ideas through bolding and italics. Use a clear typography, something like Kandara or Arial or Tahoma. You're wanting it around size 12 font if your audience is over 40 or wearing corrective lenses. Nothing smaller than 12. And the space part's really important too, to be clear, because you don't want dense and accessible paragraphs where your reader can't decipher the head from the tail of the snake. You want it to be short and crunchy with bulleted lists that break up the language in delightful ways and consistent grammar with those bulleted lists too, starting off with the same grammar point. And all of these tips help your reader skim through your message, understand what's at stake, and find your message just a pleasure to read. You don't want them sitting there wondering, what are they trying to tell me? The opposite needs to happen for you to truly hook and then retain your audience. Now we're at the closing. So with the closing, you want to remain positive and forward-looking. Thank them for reading so far. Maybe there's something in the future that you want to draw their attention to, but positive and upbeat closing. And then if there's any action item or deadline, you want to reiterate that if it's applicable, if there was an ask for action in the front. So now you've got the core suggested framework for an effective, informative message. Enjoy writing these messages. Take time with the first draft. Budget time to go in and polish it. Share it with a friend or your writing or communications coach or your mentor. Ask for that feedback. And have fun with it. Make it audience-centered, not only fun to write, but also a delight and pleasure to read. You've been listening to The Sage Sayers, and this is Debbie McCullough, calling in today from Muskego, Wisconsin. Looking forward to speaking with you next week, and look for the details on how to find me and my communications workshops in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Take good care, and bye for now.